Take your Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The children can be dismissed for the children's Bible hour. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to pick up where I left off last week, because maybe it doesn't seem to be making the connection, but I think it does make a great connection, because what we're talking about is our spiritual lives. And yet, our spiritual lives, as we saw last week, God is looking for those throughout the earth, for people who are totally devoted to Him. And yet, we find that people are not devoted to Him. And really what that amounts to is a spiritual problem. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, tells us how this is connected, this spiritual attitude is connected to the local church. And it tells us in verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." And of course, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent in two, and now we can come boldly into the throne of grace. In verse 21, "And having an high priest over the house of God." And I checked the different commentaries on that, speaking about the church of God. And that there is a sense in which the Bible tells us that if we have been saved, then we should truly understand that Jesus Christ is over the church. And verse 22, "And let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." I've been doing the prayer schedule that Brother Van Gelderen recommended that we do. And of course, something I've done for years is always understood that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so this morning when I was doing that, I'm saying, "Now, Lord, if there's any sin in my life, cleanse it." And I can do that because He has sprinkled with His blood so that we might be able to have a clear conscience before the Lord. And I hope that each one of you have a conscience that's void of wrong in your life. And He tells us that's why we need to draw near to God. In verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works," which we did this morning. We said, "Pastor Nathan and Karis, we want to provoke you, want to encourage you." Provoke might not have been the word, but we wanted to encourage you to raise your little boy for the Lord. And you said yes. See, that's our purpose as a church. And then verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day," speaking of the day of Christ, "approaching." Now, what we see here in verse 25, and this is a verse Let me ask you this. I don't want to assume anything. How many of you have ever read that verse before, verse 25? Okay, real high. All right. Now, is that true? We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, we could say, and I was reading one article, I was trying to explain that away, and it didn't work. Bad explanation. It was a good explanation, but it was wrong. And he explained it so that it doesn't talk about church. No, it's talking about church. And that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, the Lord is looking for people whose hearts are fully devoted to Him. And what we have to understand is that it is important that we take that verse seriously. Now, here's an interesting commentary. This is by Albert Barnes back in the 1800s. In commenting on verse 25, not forsaking, let's say it together, can we? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. In quoting on that verse, he says, why is it that some people don't obey that? Why is it that it's not practiced? And he says, some may have been deterred by the fear of persecution, as those who were thus assembled would be more exposed to danger than others. Number two, some may have neglected the duty because they felt no interest in it, as professing Christians now sometimes do. Number three, it is possible that some may have had doubts about the necessity and propriety of this duty. In other words, they don't see the importance of it. And on that count, they neglect it. Number four, or it may perhaps have been, though we can hardly suppose that this reason existed, that some may have neglected it from the cause which sometimes operates from a dissatisfaction with the preacher, or with some member or members of the church, or with some member in the church, whatever were the reasons, he says, the apostle says that they should not be allowed to operate, but that Christians should regard it as a sacred duty to meet together for the worship of God. None of the causes above suggested should deter men from this duty. With all who bear the Christian name, with all who expect to make advances in piety and religious knowledge, it should be regarded as a sacred duty to assemble together for public worship. And yet, I find it hard to get people to church. And so I have to ask myself, why is it that people won't go to church? Well, this is what we're going to be unfolding over the next several weeks. Because there's different reasons for it. And I do think it's important that we understand that initially what I want to talk about, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. And I want us to consider that people neglect church because they have spiritual reasons. So, I've entitled the message, Spiritual Attitudes Toward the Local Church. Spiritual Attitudes Toward the Local Church, the Hard Heart. I want to address this person that the Bible describes as a person who has a hard heart. We mentioned last week, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth to make Himself strong. in the eyes of in the hearts of them whose hearts are perfect or totally devoted toward Him. And I also made the comment that when God looks over the earth, He sees a lot of people with a hard heart. So if we are going to understand the hard heart, we have to understand that this is going to certainly show up in these last days. Jesus said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we're told that according to the book of Genesis, before Noah's Ark, that men were only doing evil continually. And he that often is reproved, we're told in Proverbs 29, verse 1, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So I just want to explore this with you. What does the Bible say about a hard heart? Well, I think we should go to the experts. You know, if I'm going to a doctor and I'm wanting to make sure he diagnoses my situation, that I want to go to somebody who knows what he's talking about. Well, I want to go to the most expert of experts, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to go to the parable of the sower in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I have dealt with the parables of the sower before, the parable of the sower before, but I want to look at it within this context of why is it that people respond the way they do. And I don't think we should be surprised that when the Lord Jesus saw what was going on in the life of individuals, he said, you know, there's four kinds of people. And these four kinds of people have four kinds of hearts. And these hearts are, as he will describe in Matthew chapter 13, and he gives this parable. Look at verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then in verse 8, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Now Jesus says, who hath ears to hear? Verse 9, let him hear. So he comes to this parable, and it really is kind of like a riddle. You know what a riddle is? Somebody gives you a little story, and you're supposed to figure it out. Well, in a sense, this parable was, in a sense, a mystery. Verse 11, it is given unto you know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So he's giving us this analogy of this sower who goes out and sows. Now, three things that we have to understand about this parable. Number one, the seed. Look at chapter you know, it says that the sower went forth to sow, and he was sowing seed, verse 4, by the wayside. Now, what is that seed? Well, according to Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, that is the Word of God. Look over with me to the book of Mark, because Jesus gives this parable in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And look at chapter 4, the book of Mark, verse 14. Okay, can we read that together? The sower soweth the word. Okay, so we know that the seed is the word. Now, it's interesting. I've given you the word this morning. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, we give God's word, which of course, ultimately, we give them people the gospel. The gospel is the word of God. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the third day. That he did that for our sins, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the seed is the word. We see in this story the sowers. Now the sowers are anyone who gives out the word. Now obviously I'm standing up here behind the pulpit, and it's a wonderful joy that I have to be able to take the word of God. And we say here in our church is a church where the, what is preached? The Bible is preached. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the Bible is the word of God. So when I give the word of God to you and you hear the Bible, the question has to be asked, okay, did the word of God get taught? Now I gave you a verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the less, right? No, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So why are people ignoring that word? You know, I can get up here and try to shame you. Oh, you need to be in church. I could get up here and excuse away. Oh, you're not in church because of this and that and the other. But why is it that people will not go to church? Well, some people, it's because they have a hard heart. Now, there could be other reasons, as we read that Barnes gave, but I want you to understand that there is this sowing. Now, the soil, the seed is the Word of God. Now, the Scripture tells us that we are born again, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Bible does change our souls. And if I am hearing the Word of God and somebody is giving the Word of God, how am I going to respond to that? Well, four ways. I did three. Four ways. Okay, there are four ways that people respond. And the first way is this parable where it says in chapter 13, it says in verse, let me get over there. It tells us in verse 19, when one heareth the word of the kingdom, he understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So I want to just describe this today, because this is why some people, they're not going to go to church. We got people maybe listening on the internet. They're not going to come to church. Hopefully, the person we're describing here is not you. Because what we're going to see is that this is a person who is not saved. Now, I want you to see the analogy. It says there in verse 4 that some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. So what is the wayside? Basically, it's a beaten down path. You know what I'm talking about? So we can go out here to the farm, the fields where Richard Britt is planting. And if you have ground that the tractor keeps running over or people are walking on it, and you have a basic path that you are going over, you know, if you are sowing seed, you might inadvertently put some of that seed and it would fall on the hard ground. It's trampled down, we're told in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. And the farmer would spread the seed and sometimes fall on the beaten path. And because that ground was beaten down, it does not penetrate the dirt. And as a result, the birds come and they take it away. And this is what Jesus is saying. This represents the way a person reacts to the Word of God. So that's the analogy. Now let's think in terms of the reaction. Why is it when a person has a heart that is hard, why is it that they react the way they do? Well, they hear the word. Look at verse 19, chapter 13, verse 19. One heareth the word. So this is somebody who is not in the dark. Literally, the word heareth is in the present tense. So maybe we're talking about somebody who grew up in church. Maybe we're talking about somebody who's heard people just talk to them all the time, you know, you need to be saved. Whatever the reason is, the Scripture tells us that they hear the word and they are like a lot of people sitting in church. Someone recently told me, you know, when you preach, I just kind of go off and never land. Now, they didn't use those words, but that was the gist of it. You know, and that, you know, my mind just wanders. You know, I'd rather be looking at my Facebook. I'd rather be looking at something else, or I'm distracted, or whatever it is. But, you know, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And I wonder about that, you know, when I talk to people and I say, you know, you need to be in church. Oh, yeah, One ear, out the other. They're not going to listen. And I think of the multitudes of people who are in church even today, all around the world, who are not listening. Now, obviously, they're in church. Well, they're obeying that verse. But there may be other reasons why they don't do what God tells them to do. Why is that the case? Why is it that they react that way? Well, it says there in verse 19, they don't understand it. It goes over their head. As Barnes said, don't see the importance of it. Maybe they just think, you know, well, that's a good idea for those who are going to be religious. But they're just not going to listen. And their perception doesn't allow them to see its value. You know, the Scripture tells us that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So the Scripture tells us that unsaved people just don't get it. It's like me going into a craft store. I don't get it. I'm trying to understand its value. And my wife thinks it's the most wonderful thing in the world, and that's fine. But I don't get it. Well, that's exactly what people do when it comes to hearing the Word of God. It just goes right over their heads. And people who hear the Bible preached but don't see its value, they're certainly not going to do it. Why should they? And then it tells us that they are not benefited by it. If you look over to the book of Luke, chapter 12, because this really gets down to the ultimate thing that I was trying to get at earlier. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Now here's Jesus talking about this parable. And it says in verse 12 of Luke chapter 8. Can we read that together? Can we do that? Those by the wayside. Okay, you read it with me. Here we go. This is Luke chapter 8, 12. Obviously, some of you aren't there yet. Okay, here we go. Ready? Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, this is ultimately the problem. They're not saved. And why do people not care about the Bible? Well, if they're not saved, why should they care? Because it's not in their best interest to believe the Bible. Now, they might not mind obeying some of the Bible because they see it makes sense to them. But, you know, the fact is, people many times, they grow up in church, they go to Christian schools, they do these kind of things, and yet, for whatever reason, they do not get it. You know, you almost want to shake them. Get it!
What?
They don't get it. Because they are not spiritually discerned. Now, I'm not trying to put those people down. I'm just trying to help you to understand that people like that just can't get it. And why is it that they can't get it? Well, because their hearts are hard. If you come back over to Matthew chapter 13, this is why it's called the beaten path, the trampled down path. Their heart is very, very hard. They've closed their eyes. And what's interesting about a hard-hearted person, it isn't knowledge. It's not like they're stupid. It's many times a willful disobedience. In other words, if I don't want to know, don't confuse me with the truth. And some people are very good, is they'll get this part of the message and throw off that part of the message. And they do not get it because their hearts are very hard. Here in Matthew 13, I want you to see how this is, because Jesus had said that the people he was giving this parable to are like those people in the days of Isaiah. Notice here it says in verse 13, I speak to them in parables because they see what? They don't get it. They're blinded. Hearing, they hear not. They're deaf. And they do not understand. And in verse 14, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. I don't want to see. I don't even want to hear this. Quit talking to me. And should understand with their heart, and they should be what? Converted. So they need to be converted. And I should heal them. So why is it that their hearts are hard? Because why is it that they are reacting the way they are? Because their hearts are hard. Why is it that people's hearts are hard? Now the Bible tells us very clearly it's because of sin. It's because of sin. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 tells us that they are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, why would sin cause me to not want to listen? Why would sin cause me to turn away from the gospel, to turn away from God's word. Well, Jesus put it this way in John 3:19, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In other words, I love my sin more than I love God. And if I did, preacher, what you said to do, then I couldn't have any fun. So I'm going to go find a preacher that tells me it's okay to do that. And again, this is why every preacher needs to be careful that you are not tickling the ears of people, but that you are giving them the Word of God. And, you know, I can't change the Word of God. It is not my prerogative to change what God has said. And when men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, they say, well, I don't agree with it. Now, they can use all kinds of excuses, or I don't like it. But it's because they have a lifestyle that is against God. And we have to understand that. I mean, why would a person not want to go to church? Because I don't want to. I'd rather party all night and have a, you know, sleep in Sunday morning. Now, not everybody does that, but my illustration there is, why would an unsaved person want to go to church? You might be able to coax them to go to church. Come to our church and you get a free trip to Israel. Oh, well, I'll go to church for that. Or you come to church when I was a kid, you go to church, you get to see Dick McAuliffe, the second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. I'll go to church for that. But you see, the problem is, it's a spiritual problem. And I can give you donuts to come to church. Or I can say, well, you know, you come to church, I'll take you out to dinner. Okay, I like a free dinner. But it's a spiritual issue. Nehemiah 9:29 talks about how they withdrew their shoulder from the law and hardened their neck. You know, a good example of this is Pharaoh. The scripture tells us that Pharaoh had a hard heart. And because he wanted to do what he wanted to do and not what God wanted to do, he just refused to do it. And the result, well, what does it say in Proverbs 29:1? That if you harden your neck, you shall be suddenly destroyed. In other words, there's judgment. Romans 2:15 talks about after the hardness and impenitent or unrepentant heart, people treasure up unto themselves wrath against the day of judgment. Kind of like Jehoiakim. Now let me tell you a story about an Old Testament king. Jeremiah wrote some words of God to Jehoiakim. I don't know if you remember the story, but Jehoiakim, they brought him the words of Jeremiah, the word of God. You know what Jehoiakim did? He took a penknife and cut that up and threw it in the fire. So, you know, this is why we have to understand, because people's heart is hard, they're not going to listen. Hell will be filled with people who have had hard hearts. Not only do they respond this way because they have a hard heart, but because Satan takes the truth away. If you see there in Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 19, the wicked one catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. And this is a person that, you know, okay, they might hear it enough, think about it, and they walk out the church doors and they say, what are we going to do for lunch? Or maybe the baby starts crying. Or maybe the spouse starts complaining. tires aren't empty. What are we going to do? Yeah, I mean, it just, it's gone. And you're lucky if it got from here to the car. Now, here's the point, folks. You are going to be wasting a lot of time just inviting people to church. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I invite anybody I can. When I give somebody a gospel tract, I say to them, I want you to read something that has an invitation for our church, but inside there's something more important that shows you that you need to be saved. Or gospel message that you'd really enjoy. And the point that we have to make is this. Why is it that people hear God's word and just, poof, it's gone? Why? I've been asking that question for 36 years. And Jesus told me it a long time ago. Some people's hearts are hard. And they do not want the gospel. They may love going to a church where they're entertained, but they don't want the gospel. And I think it's important that we understand that when it comes to going to church, could it be, I mean, I would hope not, but could it be that some people who say, I'm not going to go tonight. I'm not going to go. I got this problem. I got this thing. Could it be that they're not saved? That's a good question. I would hope not in our case. Well, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Is that in the Bible? Yes or no? It's in the Bible. Do I neglect that? Well, I hope it's not because of not being saved. Pray for people. They do not need a church as much as they need Christ. And if you bring them to Christ, then they might be able to start understanding the importance of church. Our Father, we thank you so much. Lord, as we'll see in the next few weeks, how this impacts not only people with a hard heart, it affects people in other ways as well. And Father, if there be somebody here that is not 100% sure when they died they'd go to heaven, I pray that they would get saved. Lord, we know that a person, when they come to Jesus Christ and are saved, it gives them a different perspective on a lot of things. And I pray that you would be faithful in getting the gospel out to people. And help us, Lord, to not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Your word tells us that he that often gives your word shall come rejoicing. And I pray that you would guide and direct. Help us, Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd be with every hellbound sinner that is hearing my voice. And I pray that they would come to Christ and be saved. Be saved from their sin. That they would recognize that that sin will damn them. And will praise you for what you are able to do in the hearts of people that we cannot do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, this is a spiritual problem. Church is a spiritual problem.